Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to our friendly studio here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We are in the book of Romans, and we've been talking about spiritual gifts. What a blessing to talk about how God has uniquely outfitted each one of us as believers to be a blessing to other people. And I've enjoyed our little, I don't know if it's a study, but discussion about these spiritual gifts. And I promised you last episode that we would talk about how they work together. And my favorite illustration when it comes to spiritual gifts is to picture a round table. So would you do that in your mind's eye right now? Picture a round table and picture the seven gifts represented at that table. So the prophet is there, the minister is there, the administrator is there, the exhorter, the mercy person, the giver, they're all there at that table. And I'm going to come join you at the table. So I want you to picture your spiritual gift, sit at that table, and then picture me coming over to join you at the table. But as I'm coming over to join you at the table with a full glass of chocolate milk, I unfortunately trip over a cord on the ground and spill the chocolate milk all over the floor. So what does that have to do with spiritual gifts? All right. Remember I said this a few episodes ago that a great way to get a clue about your spiritual gift is to look at how you react to unplanned situations in your life, because your reactions tell me a lot about you. So how would people that are predisposed to think the way that each spiritual gift makes a person think, how would they respond to my spilling that chocolate milk on my way to the table? Okay? And again, this is humorous and this is not intended to be comprehensive, but I think it's just a really good insight into spiritual gifts. I think the prophet might respond this way. I told you to be careful. What were you thinking? That milk costs money, you know. If you would just slow down and be more careful, look where you're going, be a better steward, maybe is that the way you would respond? Because typically that's the way prophets respond. This is what you did wrong and there's how you can make it right. And maybe that's your response. How would a teacher respond? Remember, teachers want to explain. They want to supply reasons for. Maybe a teacher would say, you know, if you would have not shuffled your feet, if you would lift your feet, and if you would hold your elbow out when you carry a beverage, it would serve as kind of a shock absorber as you walk along. And doesn't that resonate with you? Because a teacher wants to explain why. Here's why that happened. And let me teach you how to. Okay, what about a mercy person? How would the mercy person at that table respond to my spilling the milk? Well, I can picture the mercy person just crying. You know, I remember when I spilled milk and how embarrassing that was. And I struggled with that. And I know exactly how you feel. And let's cry over that spilt milk together. And we all need those people that cry with us in life. What about the exhorter? How would the exhorter deal with my spilling milk? The exhorter might say, don't worry about that spilt milk. There's more milk where that came from. We got a whole cow out back. We'll just milk some more and let's just go forward. Nothing you can do about that milk now, right? Don't you love exhorters? What about a giver? How would a person with the gift of giving respond to spilt milk? Well, he might say, hey, here's my milk. I've not even taken a sip out of it. You can have my milk. You lost yours. Here's mine. Okay. How would the servant respond? Well, the servant, he would hop up and he'd be cleaning up and making sure the stain doesn't get into the carpet. He'd be making sure that that the glass that was broken, nobody's stepping on the shards of glass. He's sweeping it up into a dustpan. That's the way a servant would respond. How would the administrator respond to the spilt milk? Well, the administrator might be saying, hey, you get the broom and you get the mop and you put up the orange cones. And yep, he would be immediately delegating what everyone should do in the situation. Now, is that an oversimplification? Of course it is. But it is kind of humorous that the way we tend to think about situations, the way we tend to react to situations oftentimes is an indicator of the way that God has dispositioned us, our gifting, our spiritual gifting, and to take that to heart and to use that illustration if you'd like. I think you ought to take a spiritual gift test. They're available online. You can just look up, Baptist spiritual gift test, and it'll really help you. It'll be a series of questions, and at the end, it'll rate you, and it'll help you to determine, how do I think? And what are the ways by which maybe God has gifted me? And not for the sake of curiosity alone, but so that you can exercise that spiritual gift and know a little bit more about yourself. Know thyself, Paul told Timothy, and be able to serve others more effectively. One final word about spiritual gifts, and that is, remember that just because you're gifted in one area, that does not exclude you from obedience in the other areas. A gift from God is a wonderful benefit to kickstart you into being immediately productive in the Christian life. But as you grow in grace, these other responsibilities ought to mature in your life as well. So I hope that helps. We're in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to jump into now a section at the end of the chapter. So this would be verses 9 through 21, so the second half of the chapter, that really, these are general principles about how we as believers ought to be treating each other. So in many respects, you could say that spiritual gifts represent the way that God equips us to more effectively serve. But then verses 9 through 12, these are the ways and the attitudes by which we do serve. So regardless of what your gift is, every single one of us has a responsibility to engage Christian behavior in the ways that we're going to describe over the next few episodes. So these are power-packed principles. They fly in the face of what culture tells you. They fly in the face of what your flesh sometimes screams at you to do in a reactive situation. And these are characteristics that can only be accomplished as we're yielded to the Spirit of God. These are not natural. So here's the warning about what we're going to talk about for the next few episodes, that these are not natural. These are counterintuitive to what society says and to what your flesh will tell you to do. But they are possible as we walk in the Spirit. And what you're going to find as we talk about these is they are strangely reminiscent to what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to keep that in mind as well. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 9. We've got just a couple minutes remaining today. So let's jump into the first two, where the Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. So just like the spiritual gifts are discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the context of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So love is the way by which we exercise our gifts. So I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm a mercy giver, I'm a ruler, whatever I am, my obligation is to practice my Christian life and exercise my spiritual gift in the spirit of God's agape love. So let love be without dissimulation. Now, what is dissimulation? Dissimulation is pretense. It's fakery. So be real, be authentic. Don't fake it till you make it. Be a person who is genuinely loving other people. Now, in order to genuinely love, one must have a genuine relationship with God. Why? Because love is from God. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So love sees the other person as valuable. I make sacrifices. There's an ongoing commitment. And so be real in your love. Let love be the way. Let your gift be the how, but let your love be the why. That's important. So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So what is an inhibitor of love? This world system, this world philosophy. So the Bible says we are to abhor, detest, loathe that which is evil, that which is opposite the character of God. That's what evil is. Evil is that which is opposite the character of God. So if I am to be authentic in love, that means I'm going to know God, love God, follow God. And that means I need to abhor that which is anti-God, that which is anti-Christ. So abhor that which is evil. Learn to love the things God loves and learn to hate the things God hates. Now, watch what the Bible did not say. The Bible did not say, abhor him who is evil, or abhor her who is evil. Now, this is not an admonition for us to hate people. Sometimes Christians, unfortunately, have this spirit of they hate people. They hate the sinner. No, we're to love sinners. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. So this is not a matter of hating people, but this is a matter of hating that which hurts people. And we understand that evil is the most deleterious thing in a person's life. So I can love a cancer victim and hate cancer, right? I can love a leukemia victim and hate leukemia. I can love a sinner, a sin victim, and hate sin, and I should. So abhor that which is evil. And then I love this, cleave. Well, the word cleave is such a strong word. You think about the word cleave probably in terms of marriage. A man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. So cleave, wow, that means that speaks to a permanent bond, that speaks to an unbreakable connection. So cleave to that which is good. So we there ought to be a volition, a strong desire and decision in my life that I am going to choose the things that are good, things that are beneficial, things that are right, things that pass the test of scripture. And that's where my decision-making is going to lie. And that's where my commitments are going to be. Abhorring, that speaks to attitude, that which is evil, and cleaving to that which is good. Why? Because I want to be a person who mirrors the love of God and exercises that love most effectively through my spiritual gift, that other people might be benefited for the cause of Jesus Christ. See how it all goes together? And none of that's possible unless we yield ourselves to him, living sacrifices. So I hope that helps. We're going to jump into verse number 10 next episode. Hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.